This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Thank you, Dale, and thank you for the introduction. You are listening to the Christian War Room, and we are looking at the whole issue of persecution. The law knocking on your door and taking all of your IT equipment away because you've stepped over according to them. Maybe somebody grassed you up. Maybe you've been an Islamophobe or a homophobe. Maybe you are accused of having committed hate speech. Maybe there's somebody that's been offended by something you've said. And again, in some countries, hate speech is not defined by the contents you say, but by the measure of how somebody is offended. Yeah. So that is a big problem. Yeah. So somebody might just say, this guy has offended me. I want him dealt with. And they use the law to get at you. Maybe there's an issue with data protection, that you commented on what somebody has said, and you don't have the permission to comment on that. And under the new data protection laws, they might, you know, try and clamp down on you. Maybe there's a copyright issue somewhere. I don't know. So, what are we going to do? What are you going to do? We talked about this in our last talk, and that's going to be 173. Yeah, this is talk number 174. You can get to these talks on christianwarroom.com. If you click on there, there's a list with all the different talks which are there. So you can dig them out and you can listen to that one as well. You may not want to, and it's okay. Today we're just going to talk about archiving. Now, I stumbled over this whole thing about archiving. And I was listening to a guy called Billy Crone. He's a Baptist preacher of Sun Life Ministry in Las Vegas. A very interesting guy, and I would recommend you to listen to him or to check him out. Billy Crone, Crone, C-R-O-N-E. And he has got a series about cults. And he was talking about Scientology, the whole Scientology group, and there's a guy called Hubbard, and he has written an awful lot of stuff. And what the Scientology people do is they have decided this is so important because he's sort of the Messiah equivalent person that they need to archive everything. And I'm not sure whether you're aware of this, but the paper we use today is most likely not going to be here in 100 years' time. There's some acid inside the paper which will, I'm not sure why they put it in there, maybe for bleaching or something, I don't know. But the acid is going to destroy the paper in about 100 years' time. It starts some sulfuric stuff in there, and the paper looks like it's been burnt or something. And unless it's been written down again or stored somewhere else, it's going to be gone. It's going to be gone very soon. And it's something, again, we have to sort of bear in mind about, you know, archiving. But I'm not even looking at this long term, but I had to think about this. So what they are doing is they are taking whatever Hubbard has written and they are putting it on some titanium plates or some stainless steel plates, which can be exposed to acid to salt water for 1,000 years, and it's still going to be readable. And they are taking all the stuff he has done in different formats, and they're archiving it, putting it in special boxes, hiding it somewhere in a mountain to make sure that whatever he has written is going to be preserved for posterity. Now, what he has written, I don't reckon too much to it, but we've got the Bible, and I'm sure, you know, God can look after his word, and he will look after his word. And I sometimes wonder, we've got a lot of other stuff as well. You know, are we archiving it? Are we preserving it for the future? And sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. I mean, I've got a facsimile print of Calvin's sermons on Job. And I actually have to look where I've got it. I don't know. I haven't looked for it for years. But But it was really good, you know. I was sometimes reading it, and it was really interesting to see what this guy was talking about 500 years ago in the Reformation. And that's John Calvin. I've got some scripts from Luther. I've got a facsimile print of the Luther Bible from the 16th century. Very interesting stuff, and it's great. Yeah, it's great to be able to read this stuff, which is 500 years old, even though it's just a replica, but it's a one-to-one replica. So, the big question is, you've got the problem, you know, you've been accused of some sort of hate crime, copyright, hate speech, whatever, yeah. The police knocks on your door, they've got a warrant, they take all your IT equipment, they walk out of the door, and they're looking to do forensics on your IT equipment. And obviously, I assume you're a good person. Yeah, you don't have anything controversial on there, and probably nothing is going to happen. Yeah, they're going to look at this, and we don't hate Muslims; we love them. Yeah, but we want to tell them the truth, and we don't agree with what they are teaching. Our teaching is different. Our vision of who Muhammad was and is and who Jesus Christ is very different to that of a Muslim. But we don't fight them. We don't give them a hard time. We don't hate them. We just tell them the truth, and that's all. Yeah? And there's nothing wrong with that. And maybe even within the legislation, it's very difficult to make this point. But your IT equipment is going to be gone. And it's going to be gone maybe for a year, 2 years. Maybe you're never going to get it back. In America, there's something like, I think there's something which is called forfeiture, so that the police can seize your property or property that was used within a crime. So if they deem that whatever you have done is a crime, they might confiscate all your IT equipment and you'll never see it again under the forfeiture. I think it's a forfeit or something, or forfeiture rule. I'm not quite sure how it works. There isn't anything like that here. But who knows, you know, you might not see it again. No, IT equipment is not very expensive these days. You can get a laptop for a couple of $100, a couple of £100. You can get a desktop computer fairly cheap. If it's second-hand and old, you get it even cheaper. You just beef it up a little bit, and it'll work fine. It'll do whatever you need it to do. Okay, the big question is, but what about your data? Yeah, your data is very, very important. Yeah. And very often you use your data if you've made your own Christian war room and you're reaching out, or you're trying to reach out, or maybe you've got I know I've got a big collection of sermons. I don't know how many they are, but probably thousands. I've got a lot of data of stuff when I used to run a radio station that's being broadcast on the radio station. And to be fair, if I needed to dig it out, I know where it is, and I know I need to do a few more backups of all of it. But I would probably struggle to put it all back together if, the worst comes to the worst. It would be very, very difficult to try and restore everything. At the moment, a lot of the stuff is out in the open. It's on various websites. So if everything were gone, I could retrieve it from there. But I don't know how long these websites are going to hold up. So that might be gone very soon as well. Okay, let's have a look. What can we do to try and save everything? You know? And there's a whole thing of a course of action you can do now to safeguard your data, and so that you'll be back in business within days. Yeah? So the police has come, they took your equipment. Everything is going to be recorded. They put it on some shelf somewhere. Nobody's going to touch it for a long time. And maybe that's partly the punishment you have. And what can you do? And the first thing is, what you can do is, but again, it's very volatile, and that is cloud storage. The cloud is just a server somewhere on the web. The most known probably is OneDrive and Dropbox. Dropbox gives you about 1 gigabyte. I think OneDrive gives you now a terabyte or something. I'm not quite sure. But there's a lot of stuff on there. There's a lot of data you can store online. Now, there are a couple of problems as well. So we don't know, you know, how far it's going to go. So if you store any contentious stuff on OneDrive, For example, or, you know, on Google, it's a Google Plus where you've got some storage facility. A lot of services, they offer you the storage, but they look at your data. And if it's contentious, they might just delete it. Yeah. And so some of the stuff, like I say, you know, people will take offense at what Jesus Christ has said. So if we have got Orthodox Christian doctrine, which is exclusively pointing to Christ as a way of salvation, rejecting any other religious effort, it may be deleted. And this is what's happening partly on YouTube. This is what's happening on Facebook, partly from what people are saying, that there's some sort of censorship going on. And even if it's at the moment very mild, that maybe they are not indexed, so if people are looking for certain stuff, it doesn't come up straight away. Maybe they're not monetized, like on YouTube. There was this big issue that a lot of Christian ministries who were doing interesting stuff, but they lost all the monetization. And the next step might be that they just delete channels. And I've heard of cases where this has happened. Yeah, so somebody might just go that far. Okay, so what else have we got? We have got USB sticks, yeah. Interesting stuff. So we've got USBs, we've got CD-ROM cards as well. So they're the little cards you put in your phone, and some of them have got a phenomenal amount of storage capacity, and they're very tiny. So you could hide them somewhere. Now, if they get a search warrant, I would reckon they are pretty good. So if you, but they only got a search warrant for your property. So you could take a CD-ROM drive or a USB stick and put all your data on there, and you get USB sticks, which are close to, you know, 64 gigabytes or 128 gigabytes or even more. And you can put all your data on those USB sticks and hide them somewhere, preferably off your property. The other thing as well is if you use cloud storage or if you use USB storage or CD-ROM cards, one thing you can do is you can use encryption software, encrypt everything that's on it, and then it's not a problem. So if people get it, they don't know what it is. If at one stage Christianity is outlawed, you know, like in North Korea or some other places, you could protect yourself by just having the stuff on there that's encrypted. I'm going to talk a little bit about very sneaky encryption as well, where you can sort of hide stuff inside other stuff, and people will just think, oh yeah, it's just a film, you know, an innocent film or something. But in reality, it's sort of hidden on this USB stick. You know? With the right tools, you can find it, but it's just like one layer of protection. And even then, you can still encrypt whatever you stick on there. So you've got layer one, layer two, layer three, and you can sort of try and hide. The only problem is when you need to get access to it, it's a bit harder. But then again, if you just keep it as a backup, you know, so at a later stage you can get it. Why not go for it? Okay, what can you do with USB sticks? One problem is with anything that's like a CD-ROM card or a USB stick is the whole idea people have been talking about with EMPs, that these things can be destroyed because they're very tiny sensitive junctions in there. You get an electromagnetic pulse, and if you get an attack like that, it could go down. I'm not sure. It's not been tried so far. I'm not sure how serious it is, but here's an answer. Yeah? And what I found is quite interesting is USB sticks. In one instance, one of my USB sticks was pulled through a washing machine. I left it in my trousers and didn't come out. Stayed in the trousers. Trousers went into the washing machine. And the next day I had a very clean USB stick, but I wasn't sure whether that thing was still working. There was some important data on it as well. I plugged it in and voila, everything was okay. It still worked. And I think it's still working today. So water, at least temporary water penetration, I'm sure if you leave it in water and you leave it in there for a week or whatever, eventually, you know, corrosion sets in and the contacts are going to be damaged and it's not going to work. But, you know, if it gets in water, it doesn't seem to matter. If you have a hard drive, maybe a different story. So what can you do? You can take a USB stick. You can take a CD-ROM card. Put all your data on there. And if you take a micro CD-ROM card, they're really tiny. And yet some of them, they've got a capacity of about 64 gigabytes or 32 gigabytes. So you can store your data on there. And then You can just hide him anywhere. You know, you can put him somewhere between mortar, put a brick over it and hide the thing inside mortar, put some plastic around it to protect it a bit more, bury it somewhere. I don't know, anywhere. Yeah? And it's going to be pretty hard for anybody to find it. As long as you know where it is, you can always go back to it. And it can be, you know, outside your property or somewhere else or with friends or whatever. You can just leave it there and you can put your data on there, leave it in encrypted format. And it's fairly safe. And so you've got a means to go back and to be in business within a day, you know, or 2 days maybe. For one day you need to buy a laptop and then the next day you need to, try and get your stick and decrypt the data and put it back on again. That's one thing which you can do. And I know in North Korea there, I've heard some stories, I've followed some documentaries. There's a lot of stuff that's done in North Korea that little USB sticks are smuggled across the border from China into North Korea. And they just go around and people are really keen to watch films and find out what's going on in the rest of the world. And there's sort of a shadow market infrastructure where people, you know, they've got a longing to really see what's going on elsewhere. And they're sick of their sort of old communist state and the leader worship and all that stuff. Okay, what else can you do? You can do an offsite storage, and if you've got some friends, preferably in another country, you can. It needs to be in a different legislation because they can always track down where you're connecting to and where you're putting your stuff. You can use the Onion Ring system, which the system is called Tor, T-O-R. To connect to different computers where the trace is a little bit more invisible, a little bit harder, but it tends to slow down quite a bit. But you could use this to try and obscure your identity so that it's very hard to follow them. I had to think about something in my hometown in Paderborn. They got something which is called Freenet. And you just open up a little bit of your internet connection and you open it up to anybody, to anonymous people. And the whole idea is the freedom of the internet. Now, in Germany, it's a big problem. If somebody uses your internet connection and hacks or downloads copyrighted material or something like that, the owner of the internet connection is made liable. So what they've done is they have created a Freenet box. This Freenet box goes to a server somewhere, I think it's in Holland, I'm not sure, where the laws are different. And from there, it just accesses, or it's in London, I think. I'm not sure. But anyway, it's another country, another legislation. And from there, people can go into the internet, do what they want. And all they can do is they can trace it back to the server. But this server doesn't keep any records, and they can't trace it back any further. So there's something like genuinely free internet in Paderborn, for example, with this freenet culture. And it's sort of bypassing the law, and they can't do anything about it. And that might be one idea as well. If you've got a VPN, a virtual private network connection, get your geeky friend to try and sort it out for you to another computer in another country, maybe where you've got a friend or something, and you can start storing all the important data in another computer in another country using a VPN. So nobody really knows what you're sending through. And you can have all your sermons, all your Bibles, all your books, all your debates, whatever you're working with, you can have it all stored in another country. And so if anything ever happens, you can access the data elsewhere. It's happened to me once. I had a disk crash, and I used to teach ethical hacking, where you taught security, IT security, from an offensive point of view, not from a defensive but offensive point of view. So you taught people what a hacker would do to try and get into your system up to a certain level. And obviously you've got like millions, not millions, but maybe thousands of tools. Many of them I don't know, but you get like a nice collection because people get together, they share all the tools. And in one instance, there was one guy, I did share a lot of my tools with him, and I had a disk crash, and I didn't back up everything. And there were some very important tools as well because I'd shared it with one of my friends. I could ask him, and he was... I think he allowed me FTP access, and I could download all those tools again from his machine. And that was just one example. I mean, in this instance, there was nothing illegal. There was nothing illegitimate about it. But it was just, you know, having friends where I shared my data with, and then I could get my data back from them. Okay, so we looked at this. You can hire a web server, so you can hire virtual servers in other countries. A few years ago, I was looking into this, and you could go to the Ukraine and you could hire a machine, you know, hooked up to an internet connection in the Ukraine, a virtual machine with X amount of storage space. You can do this in China as well. China, obviously, you've got different legislation, but normally, as long as you don't upset the Chinese Communist Party, they pretty much let you do what you want. So there's some freedom there, but there are also a lot of interesting places as well where you've got little banana republics who will offer storage. It is not 100% safe and secure. You know, whoever is giving you the storage, they could just shut down and systems could crash and you've got no control over it. But what you can do is you can obviously use it just as one option, and then maybe have your little USB stick as well, sort of have like a little bit of a double backup. It's important, again, that you go to another legislation where you store your data. Right, you could have obviously online stuff, you know, for written stuff. You could have blog sites. You could have maybe Vimeo as well as YouTube for all the video stuff you have and the videos. GodTube, I think, is another platform. I'm not quite sure whether they are in cahoots with YouTube or how they work. But anyway, there is a lot of stuff there. Again, if you deal with your data, let me just reiterate this. Encryption is very, very important. So you can, you know, put loads of your files together, encrypt them into one big file, and then store them somewhere. It's interesting as well, when you, I was reading, I think it was a DNT or some carrier, some like UPS or something. When you send a disk with them, they insist that you encrypt it so that they cannot be held liable. That's what I assume the reason is. If they move forbidden material into another country, yeah, because they don't want to be in a position that they have to check everything. So it has to be encrypted. That's what they insist on. Okay, there's a system as well, and this is what I wanted to talk about at the beginning, where you can really obscure the whole thing. You can have, for example, a CD-ROM. And I mean, you know the story, you cross a border, you know, people, they want to check out your laptop and they want to see what's on your laptop. And one of the things you can do is you can put like a few movies on your laptop, and there's something called steganography. And what you do is you, or short stego, you take, for example, some YouTube videos and Bibles and Bible commentaries or whatever it is, yeah. And you can just hide it inside a film. So somebody looks through your computer and they try to copy the data. All they see is just a film. The film will play as normal. But you've got a certain software, and once you apply this software, you can extract, you know, sometimes password protected, sometimes the whole stuff you put through Stego into the movie is just stuck in there, and you can encrypt it as well. Yeah, so you get an encrypted file out, you decrypt it then, and then you can use it. So there are ways of doing this, and it's called steganography. If you Google it, I'm sure you'll find lots of programs. Now, it's not the perfect way of hiding stuff, and they can always find it, but very often they look at your laptop and they just see a couple of movies, you know, a few meaningless documents and so on, and they won't touch you. Yeah, they're probably not going any further. Another way is you can hide files inside an NTFS volume. NTFS is a file system Windows uses. It was quite easy when we had Windows 2000, and I think it worked pretty much with Windows 7 as well. I have to try it out again. I haven't done it for ages, but you can hide files inside your NTFS volume, and they become invisible. You just need to have an extraction file, and you have to put, you know, from the command prompt, just a command in there, you know, to extract the file. and then the file will come out. So, for example, you could have like a 10 gigabyte or 5 gigabyte or whatever, you know, fairly big file, you know, where everything you have has been encrypted, it's been compressed, encrypted, put together into one file. You then shoot it into the NTFS volume, go across a border or do whatever you want to do, and when you're done with it, you extract it again. Again, you can do this on a USB stick as well. Yeah, so you can do this on there, so all people see is just a film on it. Holiday snaps or whatever it may be. Once you extract it, obviously you've then got the data out from there. And it's invisible. People won't suspect anything. And you can sort of get it out of the NTFS volume. Now, if you know what you can do, there's NTFS detection software. There's Stego detection software as well. I tried it. It didn't work very well, the detection software. And what really fascinated me is, so I was shooting about 10% of the file size into a movie, and the movie file size didn't increase. So it somehow stuck it in there. I'm not sure how it did it. I watched the movie. I couldn't tell the difference. I did it with an audio file as well. Couldn't tell the difference. The audio file didn't get any bigger either. So it was quite interesting what you can do with that. So there's a lot of there's so-called hacking tools. They're out there, and you can use them to discreetly, you know, make files disappear. It sounds all very dodgy, but what we're talking about here is taking the Bible, taking debates, taking sermons, taking Christian material, which one day may be outlawed. We heard the story about the Houston mayor who wanted to subpoena the sermons of every pastor in Texas, you know, to make sure they're not saying anything naughty or anything against the LGBT movement, making sure they never state those Bible verses again in their lives. Didn't get anywhere, I don't think, but that was where it was going. And I think this is where everything is heading to again. And so we need to be prepared. And that is really what we need to be. And we need to protect what we have. And at the moment, we've got a vast array of resources. When you look at YouTube, when you look on the internet, every ministry is packing everything on there. Creationist ministries, everything. There are files to the limit. There's a huge amount of resources out there. What we need to do is get out of those resources, especially if they are free, not copyrighted, free to use for anybody. Get them out there, save them somewhere, and make them available, you know, at some other time, you know, especially when the window of freedom closes, that we've got something to start working with and dealing with. Okay, what else do we need to do is we need to anonymize the data transfer, and I need to come to the end now. I'm just looking at the time. We are running out. Future prognosis. I think at the moment we've got the darknet. The darknet uses Tor. It's very anonymous. And what we find is that it's just used for dodgy stuff. Once persecution kicks in, and it is, you know, at the moment starting to kick in, this might be the avenue we need to go. We need to get into the darknet and use the technology which is there to avoid persecution. Jesus said that we should be as cunning as snakes and without faults as doves. No falsity, no falseness in us, but we should be very clever in doing this. We have got a job to do, and this job is to get the gospel out, to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. And that is not geographically, that's also in time. Jesus is coming back soon. We need to preach the gospel. We need to be found preaching the gospel when he comes back to take his own home. And that's really what we need to do. And we need to use the tools. And if persecution comes and kicks in before it comes back, we shouldn't be scared. We should fight it. We should carry on preaching the gospel. God bless. You are listening to the Christian War Room.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate, or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.